Selling a screenplay is difficult. Actually, having your screenplay converted into a feature film is overwhelmingly difficult. The odds are really stacked against you. Consider this. Last year, only 289 feature films were eligible for Academy Awards. At the same time, here's a reasonable guess, there are many thousands, maybe tens of thousands of screenplays, movie treatments, and people ready to pitch their ideas within, oh, maybe 10 miles of any movie studio. Sometimes it seems like everybody in L.A. County has a screenplay they'd die to put in the hands of an agent, a producer, or a studio executive. The bottom line is that having a screenplay actually produced is a major artistic achievement, and my guest did just that. His movie is called Authors Anonymous. It was made available on video on demand yesterday, and it'll be in local theaters April 18th. But I'm both green with envy and honored to have him with us in the studio. He's a local radio personality. You probably know the name, if not the voice, Dave Congleton. Welcome.
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You must be very excited.
I'm filled with a lot of emotions right now. But yes, this week, as we get closer to the release and the release on VOD yesterday, I'm thrilled because it's the validation of a dream come true. I've been chasing this for 27 years now. So it's nice to finally catch it.
So you've written a lot of screenplays.
Well, the short story is that there were two phases to my screenwriting. I came out to California in 1987 to do screenwriting. And I wrote about six or seven really bad spec scripts. I mean, really awful. My favorite one is Frovers. They couldn't be friends, they couldn't be lovers, so they became Frovers.
That's how it got into the trailer this movie.
That's a joke on myself, right? And then I stopped around 1993. I stopped because I convinced myself it was never going to happen. So I was just going to stay here in San Luis Obispo and do the local media and be the local media person and give up on screenwriting. And then I was convinced in 2005 to try it again by some friends in Palm Springs. I wrote two new scripts, Scribble, which is what Authors Anonymous used to be called, was the second one. I wrote that in September 2005. And I started screenwriting again 9 years ago this month. So I want people to keep that in mind. It's been 9 years since the time I wrote the first words fade in to the time that people are actually going to have a chance to see the movie.
Amazing thing. Well, tell us about Authors Anonymous. What's the movie about?
The movie is about writing and a writer's group. I was drawn on my experiences for 12 years. I ran the Writers' Conference at Cuesta College. And very common for a writer's organization are these reading critique groups where writers get together once a week, five, six, seven people. You're all unpublished, and you try to support each other. Hey, that was really great. Great new pages, Joe. Keep it up. You're going to make it. And the premise is, what happens if one of the writers, in this case Hannah, who's played by Kaley Cuoco, actually nails it, and in quick succession gets an agent, gets a book deal, gets a movie deal. How do the other five writers handle her success? So at the bottom line, Larry, it's about envy, and it asks the question, how much success is any one writer allowed to have?
How long did it actually take you to write the screenplay?
To be honest, the first draft was 2 weeks because Scribble, which is now Authors Anonymous, was that rare writing experience where the clouds parted, the sun shone through, and it came pouring out of me because I knew these people and I knew the situation. You referenced earlier the line about Frovers. There's a guy in the group, the head of the group, Dr. Alan Mooney, who's an optometrist. And his thing is he's always recording ideas into his tape recorder, but he can never get past the ideas. And so I took all those really bad ideas I had for the 1980s, and I gave them to Alan Mooney. So he's got Frovers, and then he's got Unleashed, about a dog and a cat who become human for 24 hours to rescue their kidnapped owner. Yes, I wrote that script. I wrote that script. But I gave all that to him. And so I tapped into my own emotions and my own feelings about writing. And I know I could live another 30, 40 years. I will never have this experience again.
So you knew there was something special about this creation.
Absolutely.
Do you have someone who you go to to bounce ideas off of, to read first drafts, to be sort of your guru?
The challenge of living on the Central Coast is that those kinds of people are few and far between. Of course, I could go to my wife, Charlotte Alexander, who's a good critic, a good editor, but she's also my wife. And there is not – you can count the number of professional writers up here on like two hands. There are folks like Jay Asher and Katherine Ryan Hyde who have had books turned into movies or in the process of having them turned into movies. There's Tony Peckham who lives up in Atascadero who wrote Sherlock Holmes and Invictus, but that guy's really busy. So I've been able to establish a network of people mostly down in L.A. that I will show drafts to and bounce ideas off of. But it has been frustrating that there are times up here when I feel alone.
The format for a movie script, for anybody to pay any attention to it, is very specialized, very rigorous.
Yes.
How did you learn that? Or is it just something that you acquired over the years? Sid Field, of course,
right,
is the guru.
Well, you're right, and yet there is distinction. You can read a script by Quentin Tarantino, and it's unlike any script you've ever read in terms of format, because he goes in any direction he wants. There's a website called Drew's Scriptorama that you can download most major scripts for free. So part of it is studying screenplays. First screenplay I ever studied with Hoosiers with Gene Hackman. Mm. I read that script back in 87. I said, I can do this because I'm a very visual person. I had tried to write manuscripts for books, and I was never able to really do it well. But screenplay writing is second nature to me. And yes, I still recommend Sid Field. He died recently, but he's the master of the three-act structure. And he's right. You can take any major feature film, and you can page 14 or 14 minutes in, there's a turning point. And then there's a third act where there's another turning point. And I followed that.
Actually, also, there is a set of real strict rules. You have to use courier typeface, as I recall.
Right, and it's got to be like 10-point. What you do, you just get Final Draft. Mm-hmm. Final Draft software has made it all easy because any script has to be on Final Draft, and it's all set, automatic, ready to go.
When you started writing this screenplay, did you know what the dramatic arc was?
Yes, because it came to me so quickly. This was about a guy named Henry, who was me, who came to Los Angeles to make his fame and fortune as a writer. And the movie, in terms of the script, opens in front of the house in West Hollywood where F. Scott Fitzgerald died on December 21st, 1940. And Henry is standing in front of the house and he's talking to the camera and he says, I am not going to make the mistakes that Fitzgerald did. Well, guess what? He ends up making the same mistakes. Although you're not going to see that in the movie because all that was cut.
That was the initial scene.
Yes, sir.
That was above budget, I guess.
You'd have to talk to the producers. They decided to, I mean, they actually shot the scene, but they cut it.
Oh.
There are three ways you make a movie. It's when you write it, when you direct it, and then when you edit it. The writer is always there, obviously, for the first phase, and often the writer can be there on location. I was invited to be there on location. But the writer is never involved in the editing. And they may shoot things, but it's an interesting experience when you finally see the finished product and you're sitting there going, oh, wait a minute, they pulled that out. Or they changed the sequence there. All right, you go with it.
We're talking with Dave Congleton, if you don't recognize the voice, a local radio personality, and now not only, a screenwriter about to see, we are all about to see his great creation, Authors Anonymous, in a theater near us.
It is supposed to open Friday, April 18th. It's going to come to San Luis Obispo as of today. We don't know yet whether it's going to be the Fremont or the downtown center, but it'll be one of those two, and there will be a Central Coast premiere that Friday night.
How did you sell the script? Did you have an agent and go that route? It's somewhat of a mystery to me how that happens.
You have to remember, Larry, in 2005 when I started this, it was better days for the economy and for filmmaking. So originally, there were going to be four of us just making this movie ourselves. There was going to be myself and my wife, Charlotte, and then these friends down in Palm Springs who had convinced me to try screenwriting again. There were going to be the four of us. And so the deal was we were going to raise some money and our friends were going to raise some money. Charlotte and I raised about $100,000 locally. It was amazing how easy it was because everybody wanted to be part of Hollywood. Our friends in Palm Springs raised zero. So they had to leave the production. That was in 2007. Mm. But we had hired Kathy Henderson Martin, who lives in Pismo Beach, as a veteran casting director. She came on board to cast the movie. And we had in 2007, it was cast. We had Richard Kind. We had Ileana Douglas. We had Rochelle Lefevre from Twilight as Hannah. We were set. We were ready to go. But the other people didn't have any money. Mm. So Kathy believed in the script. And to this day, I credit her with getting this movie made because she became my portal to Hollywood. It became clear that we could no longer do this on our own. We were going to have to do it the traditional way. And she gave it to a woman who took the option. And for the next 4 years, we chased money all over the world. I rewrote Henry to be British. I rewrote Hannah to be Swiss because we were chasing money. The classic story is John K. Butson is a character played by the late, great Dennis Farina. And if there's nothing else I get out of this movie, I wrote Dennis Farina's last role. It was an honor. He plays this guy who is just this gruff old army veteran who ends up self-publishing. In the original scripts, it's all John K. Butson. There's nobody else. Mm-hmm. Well, for a while, in about 2007, 2008, we have some German investors. And the German investors want a role for the girlfriend because one of them has a girlfriend. So the director comes to me and says, can we create a role for this German woman? Of course, because you want the money. You want to make your movie. Where can we put a German woman? Ah, John K. Butson needs a girlfriend. So I rewrote the whole arc for Butson, giving him a girlfriend. It worked. It worked. The director loved it. The producer loved it. The investor loved it. I'm like, hey, we're going to make a movie. 30 days later, the German investor drops dead of a heart attack. My hand in the air. But we all love the character of Sigrid so much, she's in the movie.
Now, you were on set for this.
Yes, that's not always what happens
with a screenwriter.
No. Most of the time, they don't want you around because of all the improv that takes place. The set designer said that he had worked on 50 productions, and this was maybe the fourth time the writer had been allowed. But the director, Ellie Kanner, wanted me there because every day there was some kind of change for the script. They might have to cut something because of the location shooting. A joke may not be working. They want a different joke. I got a real lesson in all this from Kaley Cuoco, who's the star from Big Bang Theory. Second day, we're shooting in Burbank, and there's a scene where she is supposed to say something to Henry. And she just stops production. She says, you know what? I don't think that Hannah would say this. I'm not comfortable. And the director and I look at each other like, you know what? She's right. We've been looking at this script for years. And so for the next, 15, 20 minutes, I got to watch Kaley Cuoco, Chris Klein, this other actor, and the director re-choreograph the end to this scene. And I was watching it, and I was totally okay with it. And afterwards, one of the few conversations I got with Kaley, I went up to her and I said, thank you. It never occurred to me, but you're absolutely right about this. And she said, I'm glad you see it that way.
It's an organic process, yes. I guess.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you at any time feel they're doing violence to my great work?
Oh, no, because you're so thrilled to be there. I mean, I'm like you. I've admired Dennis Farina for years. And there he is. And he's saying my words. He's got a monologue at the end. And he says it word for word. Mm. He doesn't change a word in my speech. And here we are shooting Canoga Park. This is August 2012. It's 115 degrees out. We're in a mobile home that has no air conditioning because you got to shut it off when you're filming. And he's got his military vest on. And he's had a long day. And he's 68 years old at the time. But he loves the part. And I'm standing there. And he's just giving it is all, and I couldn't be happier.
Working on another screenplay?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we hope to be shooting here in San Luis Obispo this summer a second script I wrote called Seven Sisters, which is based here on the Central Coast.
Ooh. What's it about?
I love Sideways. It's one of the great movies, but I'm tired of everyone talking about, Sideways, Sideways, Sideways. Look what they did for Northern Santa Barbara County. So I decided to write and try to make a movie about San Luis Obispo, which would hopefully do for us what Sideways did for down there. And it's essentially a movie about a guy who takes up hiking to overcome personal loss, and he hikes the Seven Sisters between San Luis Obispo and Morro Bay. And this deal has been fast-tracked because of people I met on the set at Authors Anonymous. Anonymous. They came up to me during shooting and said, what else do you have? Well, it turned out I had something I was working on. Mm-hmm. So they're coming up at the end of March to begin location scouting and get this thing going.
Anybody on board as a star?
No, they haven't got out to stars yet. They haven't got out to stars yet. They've got the money. They claim they have the money, but I've heard that before. Mm-hmm. I'll believe it. I'll believe it when I get the call to report somewhere.
Now, you started out with the title Scribble
this,
and it became Authors Anonymous.
Good question, yes.
And how did that happen?
Here's Marketing 101. This is the new age of movie making. This movie is going to make most of its money on video on demand. Yes, it's going to be in theaters, but it's people are going to be watching the movie mostly on their iPhones and their iPads. This is the Kaley Cuoco crowd. Research shows that if you have a movie that starts in the title with either an A, a B, a C, or a D, more people will download your movie. Scribble is an S, way down at the bottom. Authors Anonymous at the top. What does Authors Anonymous mean, Larry? I haven't a clue. But it means it starts with an A and more people are going to watch it.
Well, I thought Alcoholics Anonymous, a group.
I can't
group
explain
therapy. But it took me a while to get to that. Actually, I think scribble is much more poetic. It's a much better word.
Yeah, the idea of scribble was these writers were to writing what scribble was to writing. Just whatever.
All right.
You have to learn to collaborate and compromise when you're the screenwriter.
All right. Now, you're talking about video on demand. That means you can go to Apple.
You can go to iTunes.
iTunes or Amazon.
Monday night at 9 p.m. it went live, and people are downloading as we speak, hopefully.
And is that why they have the theatrical release in a month?
Yes.
They have the video on demand now. Is that to gauge the popularity of
Well, it's a new strategy that all these low-budget independent movies are using now. It's by releasing it on video on demand early, you get the hardcore must-see, I'd kill to see this movie, and you make some initial money off of it. But then these people go on Facebook and social media, hey, I just saw Authors Anonymous. This is funny. And it opens April 18th. And so it helps get the word out and gives low budget films like ours a chance that we might normally not have.
Very good. Now, on the 18th of April, it's going to open here.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to have an event or some kind of
That is in the working as we speak.
All right.
Hopefully a fundraiser for the film festival.
Oh, that'd be nice. Well, Dave Congleton, as I said to you earlier, I am green with envy.
Thank you.
You are to be congratulated, whether it's a successful achievement or not. You should feel very proud of yourself.
I do. Thank you, Larry. Thank you very much.